Well, sometimes there are changes in the church, and I remember a fellow that went to confession for the first time in 40 years. When he had gone before, it was a little dark box, and they had to kneel down and had to slide. But this time he walked into the confessional after 40 years, and he couldn't believe it. It was a bright, there was carpet on the ground, and he couldn't believe it either that there was a whole selection of the finest chocolates available, as well as wonderful cigars from Dominican Republic. And then there was all the little liqueur bottles as well, after dinner drinks. He couldn't believe how inviting confession had become after 40 years. And just then the priest walked in and said, "Get out of here, you're on my side." Well, the biggest change I want to talk about today is the new translation that we're enjoying here throughout the English-speaking world. And this is the biggest change in the liturgy since Vatican II for English-speaking people. What I'd like to do today is just to walk you through some of the highlights. We've now had the new translation for 2 months, and it'll take another 3 or 4 months, I think, until we become very familiar with it. But if we could have a moment to pull out your laminated cards. And there's a beautiful quote here from the bishop that said that with the new translation, it's not just a matter of memorizing new responses. This is an opportunity for us to deepen our prayer life, to really delve into the beauty of the sacred liturgy, into the mystery of God, which is the Holy Mass. This should help us to pray better. So we're not just mouthing words that we've memorized 30, 40 years ago, but we're actually lifting up our minds and hearts to God when we pray the Mass. Well, why was a new translation recently done? Well, as you know, after Vatican II, things changed very rapidly. The English translation was done very quickly, and the translators were just trying to sort of get the gist of the Latin. They were trying to paraphrase, and they called it dynamic equivalence, trying to get the general idea of what was in the Latin. But Pope John Paul II, before he died, and now Pope Benedict, said, well, let's go back to the Latin and let's make sure that we're translating it in the most reverent, beautiful, sacred language that we can have. And you'll notice that in the new translation, there's a great deal about, you know, God's grace and about humility and about reverence for God. It really brings a beautiful sense of sacredness and mystery. It took 10 years to do this new translation. So this is an opportunity for us to really see the beauty of the sacred tradition and the liturgy and the scriptural references that are found here. So let me just do a few highlights. First, in the greeting, as you know, when we say, "The Lord be with you," instead of saying, "and also with you," we now say, "and with your spirit." That response is only given to a priest or a deacon because of holy orders, because they receive the sacrament of holy orders at their ordination. So you're acknowledging the fact that they received the Spirit of God at the ordination. For a priest, they gave us the ability to change bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Gives us the ability to absolve sins at confession, to anoint the sick. For a deacon, holy orders gives them the ability to preach the gospel, to do weddings and baptisms, and administer in the church. So it's a good reminder when we say, "and with your spirit, et cum spiritu tuo," because we're reminding ourselves of this gift of ordination, holy orders that we received when the Holy Spirit came down upon us at our ordination. That's why we say, "and with your spirit." Look at the act of penitence. In the third line, the word "greatly" was added. So instead of saying "we have sinned," we say "we have greatly sinned." See, the church is trying to help us to be truly sorry for our sins, to make a good act of contrition. We say, "through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault." Anybody old enough to remember mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa? Oh, you're all so young, you don't remember it. Okay, so through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, again, the idea of sorrow for our sins. When we offend such a loving, holy God, we should have true sorrow for our sins. Then in the Gloria, which is the prayer that the angel said to the shepherds in Shepherd's Field in Bethlehem, he used to say, peace to his people on earth. Now it goes back to what the Bible says, peace to people of goodwill. Right? That's different, to have goodwill. Who will have peace in this world? It'll be men and women of goodwill. Do you see that? That's a very important idea. And then the beautiful praise. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. That all was in the Latin, which has now been restored into a beautiful prayer of praise to Almighty God. Now flip over the card and you'll see the Nicene Creed, originally written in 325, the Council of Nicaea. The main change in the creed in the new translation in the last couple months is changing it from "we believe" to "I believe." Okay? I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. See, we can no longer hide in the crowd, right? Of "we." Yes, we believe. But it's "I believe." It has to be intimate. It has to be personal. See, people shed their blood for this creed. And so we're saying that, yes, I personally believe all these things. When it gets to the fourth sentence, again, a beautiful translation, we believe in all things visible and invisible. This is referring to what we see, as well as the invisible world of the angels, the angelic world. Then in the next paragraph, we have a big word, the $64,000 word, consubstantial, okay? Which means one in substance, one in being. Again, it used to say one in being with the Father, but the Church said, let's get more theologically correct and say consubstantial, of the same nature, of the same substance as the Father. He is truly God from God, light from light, consubstantial with the Father. And then you see those words in red. Don't read those words during the creed, okay? Those are instructional. And this reminds us that on the next sentence, we want to bow. When we say, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. See, that's different. He used to say he was born of the Virgin Mary. But the Church wanted to go back to the original and say he was incarnate, which means he took flesh, which means life begins at conception. See, when did Jesus' life on earth begin? Was it when he was born in Bethlehem? No, it was 9 months earlier, when he was conceived in Nazareth by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when his life on earth began. And that is, again, a very pro-life message to be in here, that he was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. Then go down to the offertory, that little box. The priest says, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable. So see, the priest offers his sacrifice of offering Jesus to the Father on the altar, but you also offer your sacrifices, all your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of every day. You unite to Jesus, and that is offered to our Heavenly Father. And you respond for our good and the good of His Holy Church, because the Catholic Church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The Church is holy. It's the bride of Christ. It's the mystical body of Christ. The Church gives us the sacraments to make us holy. Does that mean that everybody in the Church is holy? Unfortunately not. But the Church itself, as the bride of Christ, is holy because it is the body of Christ and is founded by Christ to help make us holy. Then the Sanctus has a little change, referring to God of hosts. And that's a beautiful expression, reminding us of the heavenly hosts of angels, the cherubim and the seraphim and the thrones and the powers and the principalities. Now what's not on here is what the priest says right before the Our Father. He says, at the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say. Again, a beautiful expression. that it was at Jesus' command that we pray this way. And it was formed by divine teaching. This prayer was not made up by a human person. It was made up by Jesus, the Son of God. And we dare to call God our Father. Isn't that amazing? He wants us to call God Abba, which means Father, Dad, Papa. It's that intimate word. So we dare to say our Father. And then what's not also on here, but I think is important for you to remember, is that during the Eucharistic prayer, instead of the priest referring to the cup as a cup, it's referred to as a chalice. Again, it's a more dignified word, a chalice, the chalice of salvation. And that word, is very important because since Jesus said the first Mass in the upper room, it was furnished by a very wealthy friend of his, so it would not have just had an ordinary cup. It would have had a beautiful chalice made of precious metal. It's called the Holy Grail, which has always been considered to be a chalice of precious metal. And then it says that Jesus gives us the new and eternal covenant, which will be shed for you. My blood will... It used to say shed. Now it says poured out for you. So there's a difference. He didn't just shed a few drops. He poured out His blood for us on the cross. And then it says, He did this for you and for the many. It used to say for all. Now, how do we understand this? Well, when it says for the many, that's a biblical allusion that it wasn't just for one nation that Jesus died for the Jewish people. He died for the many nations. So that word many means all, that Jesus died for all. But the fact that not everybody accepts what Jesus did means that obviously Jesus died for all, but not everybody sadly accepts and responds to what Jesus did for us on the cross. So we want to be included in the many that do respond and do accept what Jesus did for us in dying for all of us. And then the communion rite, which is in the box here on the card, instead of saying, "This is the Lamb of God," we say, "Behold." Isn't that a beautiful word? Behold the Lamb of God. But now that Jesus is shown to us, behold Him who takes away the sins of the world. It used to say happy, now it says blessed. See, blessed is a much deeper, more meaningful word than happy. Happy means sort of by chance. Like if something happens, the word happens and happy have the same root. But blessed is something much more deep and profound. Blessed means being favored by God, receiving the grace of God, like the blessed in heaven are experiencing joy. Not just happiness, but blessedness, eternal joy. Who are called to the supper of the Lamb. The word Lamb brings a whole biblical allusion to Jesus as the Passover Lamb, then the book of Revelation, the banquet of the Lamb in heaven. So the banquet of the Lamb, the supper of the Lamb. And then we respond, "I'm not worthy you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." Instead of "I shall be healed," it's my soul that will be healed. And this is getting back to what the centurion said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you enter under my roof, only say the word and my servant will be healed." So when it refers to our roof, it's reminding us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that our bodies, St. Paul says, are temples of God and temples of the Holy Spirit. A priest friend of mine said that after ordination, he put on quite a few pounds, and he says he's no longer a temple of God. He's a basilica, right? And so whether we're basilicas, temples, or shrines, you know, when Jesus enters under our roof, to say the word, "Lord, and my soul shall be healed." And lastly, the dismissal. The word Mass, "Itam Missa Est" in Latin, means go forth. Go forth, the Mass is ended. So the very word Mass means the sending forth. So we come together at Mass to praise God, worship Him, adore Him, love Him. We receive graces, become holier, and then we're sent forth to evangelize, to announce the gospel of the Lord, to go in peace, to glorify the Lord by our life. So again, when we look at this new translation, we should realize it's not just saying new words or responding in a different way. It's supposed to be a theological teaching to bring us closer to God, to deepen our relationship with the Lord, and to help us to really pray the Mass so we become more well-informed at Mass, we pray better, and then we're sent forth to help convert the world.